This year is the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther beginning the Protestant Reformation by nailing the 95 Theses to the church door at Wittenberg. There's going to be a series of lectures about Martin Luther. The theology department will be putting on through the year, and there'll be excellent world experts talking about different aspects of him. You might have seen an article about that in the ODT earlier this week. And, I mean, they say that when an avalanche starts, there's been little snowballs bouncing down that mountain for a long time, and it's one particular snowball that starts it going. And this is what the nailing of the theses to the door at Wittenberg did. And what a momentous consequences it's had. The Anglican Church is not like the Lutheran Church. It's not confessional. That's both a strength and a weakness. It's not based around the teachings of Luther, but it's been profoundly shaped by what happened after 1517. The Roman Catholic Church, as we meet it today, is very different to the way it was in the Middle Ages, because it reshaped itself drastically to meet the challenges and questions thrown up by the Protestant Reformation. It's been reformed again in our own lifetime by the Second Vatican Council. And I want to speak this morning about the doctrine of justification by faith, on which Martin Luther staked everything, and which he said was the propellant force, doctrinally speaking, for launching the Reformation. And the reason I do that is because today's epistle reading is what really he bases his teachings on. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Martin Luther was really clear that there's nothing that we can do to earn our way into God's favour and obtain salvation from him. No amount of good works that we could do, no amount of generosity to the church, no amount of acts to save other human beings would be enough to earn us merit to be in God's good grace. Luther had tried incredibly hard through being an Augustinian monk, through the Catholic piety of his own day, to find peace with God, to feel that he really was measuring up to what God required of him, that he was in God's good books. This had not happened. He came to the conclusion that what brings us within the sphere of salvation is to make a simple act of trust in God's power and goodness. And the moment we do that, the moment we give up on our attempts to earn our way into God's favour, that's the point at which salvation is ours. Going hand in hand with that is a belief in what the Protestant Reformation would come to call the doctrine of total depravity, the belief that original sin has so scarred and damaged the human race that no one could become perfect enough to be in God's good grace. It's done us great damage, and this needs to be put right by God's saving act of salvation. The Catholic Church of his day was uneasy about the way in which he'd pressed this doctrine so hard. There were, they felt, some good things to be said about good works. Yes, human nature had been profoundly damaged by the fall, but there was enough goodness left in people to cooperate with God's grace, and to cooperate in such a way as to bring them close to being in the image and likeness of God. In our own time, the Catholic and Lutheran churches have now come to an accord and an agreement about the doctrine of justification by faith, which, in the opinion of many, removes the offence caused to one another by the original split, and which now means that both churches are in substantial agreement about justification by faith. There are, of course, some Lutherans who are still not happy about it, about the accord that's been reached. But, and to put it really simply, what Catholics and Lutherans are now saying is, yes, Salvation comes through God's justifying of us when we believe in him with simple trust. The good works that flow on from that, they too are the result of God's grace, divine grace. This too is the outworking of God's mighty declaring us to be righteous. And I want to just say something about the wrath of God, because that comes up in this Romans text also. You know, the fear of God, a very difficult concept for us to get our minds around in the modern world. Supposing in the neighbouring house next to us, it became clear that the most horrific abuse was going on. We could hear the shouts and the screams. We could look into the house from our upstairs window and have a pretty good idea about what was going on there. We'd be upset about it. We'd be distressed. We'd want to do something. We'd be angry about it. This is where God feels about the human race and the plight it's put itself into, away from the original goodness he created in it. And he's resolved to do something through the incarnation of his Son, Jesus Christ. And when he looks at the world, he feels this anger, this wrath, which his love wants to put right. He wants to purify the world as he is pure. But what has happened on the cross, in the atonement, is that God has put the situation right there. When he looks at us, he loves us deeply, but those parts of us that has colluded with evil, that has become infected by it, this he's angry about. But this wrath is put away through what Jesus did for us on the cross. He put the situation right. He rectified it. He rebalanced it. Those words which I put on the front cover of this morning's Pebble try to express in a very condensed form all the ways in which this happened. So, the problem is that having come to a substantial agreement on the doctrine of justification by faith, it's now very hard for these two major Christian churches to come back into organic union, because I remember a president of the World Council of Churches put it very well. He said it's hard for churches to unmake the anathemas against each other they made hundreds of years ago. And it's hard for them to now say, well, is there a reason for our continued independent existence? The actual momentum and energy to come back together again is very hard to achieve. But we can be very grateful that now two of the major Christian churches in the world agree about what this text is saying. Spoken in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.